I was before you 2 weeks ago, and at the time I shared with you really the pain in my life. And I can't revisit that now because, of course, I've already said it and there isn't time. But what I didn't say is that God allows suffering in our lives for a reason. And we sort of resist or resent it oftentimes, not realizing that he has an eternal purpose. And I have found in the last few years that God doesn't waste anything. It doesn't matter what it is, something is accomplished through it. And I do know that if I hadn't gone through some of the hard things and looked to God in the situation, I probably wouldn't have found some of the answers I have found. And that's why it's really this part that I've wanted to share so much with you, because I have found freedom, and it looks a lot different than what I used to experience in my Christianity. And like I had said before, Christ was always important to me, so it's not like there's a radical change, but there was a change. I'm going to start with just a story from the Bible to get us focused. In Isaiah 6, we have the story where Isaiah's there and he sees something really astounding. He sees the temple, and he sees the Lord above the temple, and he sees these seraphim flying around, and the seraphim are saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory." And then there's a shaking, the doors shake, the gates shake, and then the smoke fills the temple. When this happens, Isaiah says, "Woe is me, I am undone." And he realizes his lips are unclean. And then one of the seraphs takes the tongs and picks up a coal and touches Isaiah's lips and says, "Your guilt is removed." And then the Lord says, "Who am I to send? Who will go for me?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I. I will go." And then the Lord says, essentially, it's not going to be easy. They don't want to hear. They don't want to listen. They don't want to understand with their hearts. And they don't want to turn and be healed. I'm going to turn that around to us. I want you to have ears to hear this morning. I want you to have eyes to see. I want you to have a heart that will understand. And I want you to turn and be healed. You see, you can't access God unless there is a turning of us towards it. You have to seek it. And also I'm going to share a scripture from Philippians 1, 9 through 10. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Jesus Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You know, I have seen that there are two problems in the church that we have a hard time addressing. First one is people who have hurts. The people are there. And the other problem is we may see the hurt, but we don't know what to do about it. We don't know how to help them. What I'm hoping to show you today is how I was helped, and it was from the inside out. And it sort of goes with what Pastor has been talking about so long. Those unhealed hurts, those unmet needs, those unresolved issues that were there, but you couldn't see them because mine were not very obvious. They were in a different place, a hidden place. I had known many hurts, for those of you who weren't here. For about 20 years, it seemed like there were just several things that happened in my life that were ongoing, which included rejection and failure, betrayal, loss. Just seemed like things didn't go my way. So I came to a place where I was disillusioned because I had tried so hard to do it God's way and it hadn't seemed to be enough because I didn't have the abundant life we talk about. I asked for God for so much, but it wasn't there. A week after my husband left and I had been given notice at work, they were eliminating my position, I began my new path of discovery. I want to restate the prayer of commitment I said last time, because this is where it really started, was with this prayer. I wrote it in my first journal on February of 2002. Gracious Father, work on my heart and mind. Help me to learn to listen. Help me to push past my fear and to have eyes to see. I want to see Jesus. May my reality adjust and readjust as my vision for you changes. May I see you and you alone. May the work you are doing in me be used outwardly to minister to others. I seek you. With that prayer, I entered unfamiliar territory. I had no idea where it would take me, and an amazing process began unfolding. I can relate to this quote by Beth Moore. The more we are willing to receive, the more He is willing to reveal to us. God knows when we are ready to listen and to learn. It started with my asking God to speak to my heart. This was during an incredible time of uncertainty and feeling of being rejected. Gone was what I was used to. Even the familiar burden of keeping the marriage together. Even though I was experiencing some relief with this, I still felt lost without my mate and my support system. He was my confidant about the daily things, especially the things that happened at work. I missed his companionship, even though it had been rough. We had worked together with a certain amount of ease. Our home was a very calm home. Randy and I didn't fight, really. You know, there was a lack of emotional intimacy, I really think, was the problem. After 21 years, this happens. You know, you grow together. I missed him, even with all the pain. And I had many questions of God. I wanted to know the end. Was it over for good? Or was this just like a turning point for newness? And I wanted to know about my situation. What was I going to do for employment? How were we going to survive? How could I financially support LaVon? She wanted to go to Christian University, and that's big bucks. And I wouldn't have a job. But God didn't tell me any answers to my questions. Instead, He kept saying, trust me, over and over again. For 3 years, when I would seek Him, it was always, trust me. There's another message He would say at times. It would come to me, especially when I was frazzled with the kids, because they went through a lot of upheaval too, with the marriage falling apart and things that go with that. And it was, my grace is sufficient for all your needs. Over and over again, trust me, and my grace is sufficient would be the answer to my pleas. I also had an additional struggle that was huge. This was really new for me. It was in the form of dealing with the hard-hitting accusations Randy had made to me about me before he left. At first I thought, no way, there's no truth in them. But in time I wondered if in part or whole they were true. That started a whole path of self-doubt, and I began questioning decisions I had made over the years. Had I been a real fool all those years? So I asked God, it really was asking, to show me the answers. What was true about me and what was not? I was confused. I found that I could not completely deny what He had said. There was an element of truth, and the kids seemed to be confirming it. My self-defense wanted to rationalize every reason why I was justified in my behaviors. This became a new area of growth, an honest look inside of myself. When I would hear a complaint against me from any source, including my children, I would ask God if it was valid. I wanted to know. I no longer assumed I was a good person. And God used this for good in my life, and He still does. That's still a process working itself out. Here at church, God used people to uplift and uphold me through prayer, cards and phone calls. When I went through this dark period of my life, I wasn't ready to tell everything. And I kept silent at school for the remainder of the year, just telling a couple of trusted co-workers that my position was gone and about what was happening at home. I didn't want to fuel gossip or have people's sympathy because I might break down. It was too much, and I was barely holding it together as it was. I wanted to retreat from the world, and I did in some ways. During this time, I started receiving Christ's answer to my situation. I had been asking, and in little ways, change started to come into my life. And I realized a hard fact, and that fact is that you can't change anybody. You can only change yourself. And I found that when God does the changing, it is transforming. I gave him access with no pretense, as much as I could, in realness. He brought newness into my life, fuller awareness of his presence. I opened up all aspects of my life, little by little, day by day. Slowly, he brought my wounds, sin, disappointments, and the injustice to the light of his glory and transforming work. Gradually, I left behind my well-intentioned acts of obedience and spiritual activity, which were my spirit, were my driving force. And then it became more of God. I found myself leaving me behind and cleaving to him with no presuppositions. I had changed my focus. I think you saw that happening in me. It was different. He was becoming more dominant to me. In the process, I began to see people, scripture, and situation through different eyes. I quit blaming. And if you want change, you have to quit blaming. Then I was ready to learn truths about myself and how it really works in the kingdom of God. I had to let go of the mask. I was exposed to my own hypocrisy, which laid the groundwork for my internal healing. That stuff had to get out of the way. I'd like to read a quote by the late Joseph Bailey. Jesus warned his disciples, "We must beware of hypocrisy, pretending to be something we aren't, acting with a mask covering our face. Hypocrisy is a terrible sign of trouble in our hearts. It waits only for the day of exposure." I came to see that my hurts had piled up behind the spiritual mask and sense of privacy. I had put these in place to keep from falling apart. It's true, God had been my strength, but now I realized that my own fears and my shyness had crippled me. I wanted to take steps to remove my enclosed spirit and seek. And you know what I wanted to seek, do you remember? I wanted truth and I wanted joy. I desperately wanted those, which I did find, but I found something even better. I found what it is to have an intimate relationship with God. Now, the first major obstacle was that of surrendering Randy, my children, my work situation, and my future to God. And then I began looking into my own heart. And I started realizing something, that there were areas of bondage in me that I didn't know was there. They weren't the things that we think of as areas of bondage. There weren't the big addictions. There wasn't wanting to get ahead, power, prestige. But mine was a minefield of the mind. I realized that my thoughts were not right. They were in four areas. I was discontent. I was dissatisfied. I was resentful. And I regretted much of what had happened in my life. It was like I lived in the world of if only. If only things were different. If only I was smarter. If only I could interview well. And I wish things were different. I wish it wasn't so hard. Those were big in my world. But I hadn't realized how much I lived by those things, and also the people-pleaser thing. Trying to please people, trying to please everyone. Work, my parents, even though you're grown up, you still want to please your parents. And please, everyone. So much so that I wasn't really focused on pleasing God the way I should have been. What I had only seen was my hurt. One thing I realized was that I was extremely angry. I was bitter, I was resentful, and I was angry. I was angry about how I'd been treated, that my needs hadn't been met, that I'd been betrayed. All those things made me very angry, and I didn't even know it was there. I didn't know it. But God, I mean, it finally started bubbling up, and I realized that I was very angry. I had to deal with that. I had an experience. I'm going to read some parts today from my journal writings because I think you get a more sense of how I was in those days, and it is more purposeful. This one's called Becoming Broken. After a sleepless night, I was suddenly aware of an insight into Randy. The very hurt he had experienced was the same as mine, caused by the rejection of our personhood. I realized for him to understand my pain through the years, he might be able to if he could see the connection and the heartfelt hurt. So I wrote it down. I wept as I wrote down the things I have said and done toward him that have been unkind or unsupportive. It was 2 pages. And my regret for what I didn't appreciate enough, and my failure to speak words of deserved thanks to him. There was much I realized I could have done better. I felt my guilt so greatly. I knew I had to confess my sin to him to make it right, regardless of his response. I called him up and told him I needed to share something with him. He drove over, and then we sat on the couch while I read my confession to him, often my tears slowing the process. He listened. When I was done, he thanked me and said he appreciated me sharing with him. Then he left. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. I think that happened to me today. That was a pivotal point. The cleansing process was in place. I just can't tell you what that's like, to finally really sorrow over what you've done. I had always excused things, but I was now sorry for what I had done to hurt him. And it didn't matter what he had done to me. I knew I had to talk to him. I had to set it straight. I'm not recommending that everyone do that. You know, that's as personal as you are, if you need to speak to someone. But I knew I had to, because he needed to hear it. I don't know how it works, but I was set free in this and felt a cleansing. In April, 2 months after Randy had left, I received the papers, the dissolution of marriage document. It was on my 47th birthday. That was a down day. It felt like a death. As I looked at them, I had to face a reality. Somehow, I realized, even with all the betrayal and subterfuge, I had never given up hope that God could heal our marriage. That night, I decided to write out some objectives how I was going to live my life differently. I would seek a new course. As I wrote, the statements came easily, freely. It just was all there. I'm going to share those with you. I've had to condense it a little bit to fit on one page. Pastor, you adjust it if it needs it.
Perfect.
Okay. And I once shared these with women's ministries. It's amazing how much God has acted on these in my life. The first thing I wanted was first God first in everything, in my children, my extended family, my friendships, my work. I want to have power and strength in all I do. Second, healing in my emotions and deep inner spirit. I want to release and recognize all those wounds that have torn me up inside and have quenched my spirit. I want to be free through the freedom that forgiveness brings. I want true joy and happiness. I want to love freely and give freely. I want to help those in love, and I want to be changed. Third, I want to be myself. Let go of the chains and conflicts. Learn how to relax and have fun with people. Let my shyness and inhibitions become less of a controlling factor. And then fourth, become more decisive, less worried about what people think, less influenced by my concerns for parental approval, more motivated by God's will for my family. Fifth, develop more honest, transparent, real friendships with godly people. Six, seek deliverance from the bondage I've been under in this marriage relationship and personal privacy and private health, so to speak. Slowly, as they are revealed, releasing those contributors and factors. I will pray for this as I am not sure of all the tentacles that are surrounding my personhood. Seventh, pray for repentance, true and deep, which brings godliness. Pray for wellness in all areas of my being. I want to be set free and full of God's Spirit, wisdom, truth, and grace, with the fruits of the Spirit evident in my life. Eighth, personal desires I have. I want to deal with my strong self-will and pride. I want to have more give and take, less cut and dried. I want to be more accepting, completely of others as they are. I need to change areas in me such as I'm right, you're wrong, attitude, and self-perceptions. I was always never blaming myself, always making self look good. I will pray for awareness and humbling in this area. I will pray for God to change me. And lastly, that I would have an attitude of gratitude. I had a bitter attitude. I was also experiencing emotional release. You probably remember this. At church, songs move me. Oftentimes during the worship service, I couldn't sing because of the words of the song. My days consisted of great emotional fluctuations. I cried a lot. I didn't have the energy to deal with the kids. Every day was a struggle to get through, even though God was revealing himself to me. I'm going to share with you another journal entry because it's about something that happened here in our church. It was on a communion Sunday. Some of you may remember this. Some of you are in this. Yesterday was a very emotional day. At church during communion, I knew I was going to cry. I looked for a quick escape. When I couldn't, I decided to just embrace someone. I turned around, I was over here, and there was Beverly. I just sobbed in her arms and couldn't stop. She patted my back. It felt so comforting. I felt like a child being held closely and tenderly cared for. Deep inside me, that need for personal contact was met. All day long, I wept whenever I thought about it. It meant so much. I've been in so much pain that it has made me feel so alone, and it's been heavy. Afterward, Wayne and Sheila and Beth gathered around me. I told them about the divorce papers. Wayne said, "I'm so sorry," and he showed such concern. Thomas and I talked all afternoon. It was a pleasant day outside, and we stood by the clothesline for a long time. I asked him if he ever talks about significant things with his father, and he said, "Not really." I asked him, "What would you tell him if you could say what's on your heart?" Thomas said that he would like him to know that he needs to not to worry about the marriage, but get his life right with God. End quote. This is a good time to thank you for supporting me. All those cards, I've saved them. They've meant a lot. And my parents are here today. They also supported me. Every choice I made, they never made me choose between them or what I wanted to do. They always supported me and supported Randy too, actually. And I always appreciated that because I could still keep my self-respect. Soon we were into summer and I had lots of time to spend alone with God. I really think God worked this so I would have time. The losing the job gave me time, lots of time. I would walk in the orchard often 2 times a day. I would pray out loud or sing songs. I would think about verses and ask for songs to meet each crisis that came my way. It was a rough summer with the older children. Our home had always been quiet, but now anger was expressed often and with great impatience with me. They just wanted me to get on with it. They were tired of it, my sorrowing. The kids were finding out about his unfaithfulness, and they were upset about it. I began to pray wrenching prayers, but then, whisper by whisper, the light started to flicker, and twinges of joy. I hadn't felt joy in so long. That part was wonderful. I found myself thinking over concepts I'd believed in all my life. Concepts even found in John 3:16. For a couple months, I pondered everlasting life. What does God really mean by everlasting life? And my conclusion was that everlasting life is not just about heaven, but it's about every day. Because that which is eternal is within us. We have everlasting life. We treat it as a reward for salvation, but it is also a presence. This was such a wonderful truth that I had never accessed before. Another central truth that came into focus was that I realized that no human is capable of totally meeting our needs, our need for love, friendship, and acceptance. It is only God who can meet our deepest needs. I thought to myself, what if I was to lose everything? Would God be enough? Think about that. Would God be enough if you lost your family, your home, your work? And I realized he would be. Of course, I was still upset with Randy and hurt by his choices and wishing he had a change of heart. But another new experience began unfolding. I'm just telling you, as it went. As I would think about thoughts about him that made me angry, like his self issues, I started asking myself, do you have the same issue? That was real revealing. Because oftentimes I did. And so I'm going to tell you, it's pretty scary. So when you're frustrated with a family member, ask yourself, do I do this too? At some point during that summer, I got to thinking about healing. I had heard that you can revisit the past for healing, but I also knew that many in Christian circles didn't feel it was necessary or even advisable. Why drag up the past? It's over. I realized it could be dangerous or maybe even an unnecessary choice. But I decided that I was walking close enough to God that if there was something he could use to help me get rid of the hurt, then I was willing to go through it. So I talked to God about it and said that if there was something he wanted me to deal with in my past, I was open to it. Throughout that summer, when a thought would press in about a painful memory, if it persisted, I would set aside some alone time. I would in detail remember the event, the hurt, the betrayal, the failure, or whatever it was, and then give it to God piece by piece. It was intense. Often I was talking out loud, weeping, praying, and in the end, I would find myself almost involuntarily praying for the person who had hurt me, or the individuals, or even the school I worked, or the loss I had experienced. It was like I realized it's time. Sometimes it's time to deal with it, and it was time. I didn't do many of these revisitings, but I did do them as they were brought to mind. Some are still waiting to happen. One that surfaced that I didn't realize was coming was about my sister Lois' death or suicide. That was a terrible hurt of loss and guilt. We all wished we'd done more to help her. That was more real to me than I had expected. I remembered the sad days and the year following her death, the feelings and the people. And then I gave it to God, and I found myself praying for those who had seemed so calloused when we had met them. And I wondered, do those people ever think about Lois or about us? Because we had shared Christ. I'd like to read to you a journal entry This is about my first revisiting when it pressed in. And it was something I hadn't thought much about for a long, long time. So this is quoted from my journal. First revisiting of the past. To begin this process of walking through the pains of the past by remembering their hurt and then offering to God, I went back to the beginning. Oh, by the way, the reason I'm reading these, because I feel like I have to be really genuine with you. I want to be totally honest with you. I want you to hear how it worked for me, because possibly then it will come into focus for you. Or if I just say I revisit to the past, I don't think it would. I want you to hear what I was thinking and what was happening. I allowed myself to feel, to remember that terrible day when Josh was a baby, when Maddie told me he was leaving, just because it wasn't working out, how he didn't love me or have feelings for me. I remembered my disbelief and crying as I begged him to not leave. The pain of these memories was so intense that I wept so hard my heart hurt. I asked God to release me from their pain. I felt exhausted, depleted of all energy. After the tears subsided and the beauty of the trees and creation spoke to me, as I stood there in the walnut orchard, the memory of the biblical character Job and his intense suffering and faithfulness touched me. I thought about Job and I felt comforted. I think the hard part of that experience so long ago was feeling unwanted and having my dreams crumble before me. I'm so thankful for the encouragers he brought into my life. There was always someone who came alongside of me and gave me the gift of friendship, end quote. And I found that when I did do these revisitings, sometimes I would think about Christ and his suffering on the cross, and I realized that by his wounds I was being healed, by his stripes. That when he suffered on the cross, that how I had suffered, he had felt the pain. That's really a wonderful thing, to have Christ come alongside you and show you he understands. I found that I was hungry for God. Another era of growth that changed phenomenally in me was my prayer life. I am convinced that we of the faith often do not pray as God intended prayer to be. Prayer has much more substance than a list of wants, thank yous, and concerns. As I hungered for God, I began to find my prayers taking on a different tone. Earnest, fervent prayers are quite different than shallow prayers. Eventually, my journal became more than just a sorting of thoughts and feelings in a record of quotes and verses. I began to write some of my prayers when I sensed communion with God. I had always been suspicious of people who said they heard from God. But I began to sense his thoughts to me. Most often after a long time of prayer and scriptural meditation, sometimes he gave me pictures and I would sketch them in my journal. I like to sketch. So I would remember them. They were very helpful. I'd like to read a prayer for you so you will comprehend the different direction of my prayers. This one is the most recent one I've written in my journal. So it's up to date from a couple months ago. As I prepared these messages I'm sharing with you, I had a great battle. I struggled with the content. I couldn't decide how much to tell you in the first parts because it involved people I loved and sin. Even the exposure of choices was hard for me to show you the choices I made in case you would think I was foolish. However, one Sunday afternoon, I think it was in February or March, I was alone and having my time with God. I wanted to get it settled and silence the ongoing debate of over a year. It had been making me not want to do this, what I'm doing now. Here is what I wrote down as it unfolded after an afternoon of seeking God. First, I start with my prayer. Father, This is a prayer time with you. I ask you to speak to my heart and to reveal my sin, to open my mind to your truth, to convict me of any falsity or wrong action or thought. Lead me to you. You know what's on my mind. My coming talk of when and what. My book. I'm writing a book. Women's ministries. My need for companionship. And the children. My head hurts. I've been thinking so much. I need release from its burden. I am feeling more upbeat. Thank you, dear Jesus. Yesterday was fun, a beautiful day, going to and from Reading for the Wanted Games. Lorianne and I had a happy dialogue. It was so good for us to relax and enjoy for a change. She did so well and ran her sprint so fast. Thank you, Father. You are so good to me. I love you. I wouldn't want to live life without you. Ever. LaVon and I are restored. We went through something pretty hard over Christmas time. And so we were restored. Praise you for this. I love that girl so very much. Father, you've been on my mind a lot lately. You make life worth it. The one dark place in my life where the light is often dimmed is at school. Father, please remove the bushel that hides. Surmount every problem. Guide my speech today, tomorrow, each day of every week. Sustain me. Release me. I'm not free in this. Help me, dear Jesus. And then it came. Wait patiently. I will reveal it to you. The problem is, you're putting me in a box. I asked, is it my pride? Yes, some of it is. I don't want pride, Father. I really don't. I know that I'm always trying to prove my worth, and it is abominable to you. You are my joy when others see me through you. I've been waiting my whole life. He said, I have sustained you. I have healed you. I have kept you. I am, is what has been happening. Yes, Father, I know it is you that people see. I'm so glad. Nothing could please me more. Now what? Rest in me. Wait patiently. Soon you will know. Okay, Father, I accept this. You aren't going to tell me today. No, not yet. Trust me. Father, I trust you with the time to speak and the words. And here's what I needed to hear. I didn't remove the adultery part out of David's story. And I asked, why didn't you? And he said, it would not have been true. I always speak the truth. You must as well. What about my children? I will protect them. You have so far. But sin keeps knocking at your door. But I am greater than any sin, even yours. Thank you, Father. I am humbled. Norma, what is more important than prayer? Nothing. Nothing is more important than prayer except you. That's right. Prayer is most important. It is God's work. It accomplishes my will. It is your job to do it. Do it. Do it faithfully, circumspectly, with a heart of love. Don't leave me outside the door of your heart. Invite me into every conversation, every moment, every day. Seek my peace, always, ever, in essence. Come to me. Great is my faithfulness. When you are to speak, will come through pastor. Give him your manuscript. So that was in the Sunday afternoon. I copied it out. Came to prayer meeting, gave it to pastor. And then he said, you're on. It is impossible for me to completely show you in a scripted way the healing and the way to healing and godly life, because we're all in a work of progress, right? But I think there are some ideas I've presented that may give you keys that will help unlock your door. I have more here I could share and tons of scripture verses, but time does not allow. I want to leave you with some parting thoughts. I don't believe it is possible to be a growing Christian who is free without certain areas in evidence. These attitudes drive actions, and they are not about an intellectual pursuit of God. They are about the heart. It is my belief that the requirements consist of repentance, surrender, and healing. These will free us from what inhibits our access to the Father. I've copied a sheet for you that documents my experiences with these areas, repentance, surrender, healing, and also joy, that I put down here if anyone wants to see. It's just my take on it. It's not out of any other book. And then also I've written out a short summary of what I have incorporated over the last 5 years in becoming intentional in my faith. I have copies of this too if you want it. I'm going to go over it right now up here. It didn't all happen at once. And that's what I'm going to share with you. It's my intentions. I'm going to read them because I know some people only hear the audio tape. I make sure it gets on it. Being intentional, God time. Spend long periods alone with God in Bible reading, meditating on scriptures, and in oral prayer. Journal writing. For me, I kept a record of notes, scriptures, quotes from books, and prayers, and I would record daily praises and happenings. Disciplined reading. Every day, I do it. The last thing before I go to sleep at night. Every day, read at least one chapter in a thought-provoking book, books about God, faith, emotions, behaviors, and spiritual bondage issues written by credible authors, intellectually challenging with stimulating discourse, not light reading, things like Chesterton and, you know, Siemens, different ones. Active seeking. Ask God to show me my true self that I might change, and to use people to speak truth to me. Open access, to choose to not run from my sin or self, but deal with it, and let God work in me as he sees fit. Ongoing surrender, to make surrender to God my heart's desire. Keep going deeper with this. It's never ending, it's daily. Interactive asking and listening. Cultivate a spirit of asking. Ask God for songs and verses when I'm in need. This has been especially helpful because if you have teenagers or, older children, there are always issues and they come back to back sometimes. And there are times I used to just put an ultimatum, but I have learned, and it's been hard to learn this, to always pray and let God help bring it to pass if I need to address something. To not act first. To pray first and then wait and seek the best opportunity. And it is amazing sometimes how things resolve themselves if I go to God first with and then wait for him to help me work it out. Yeah. And it is a little hard when you're a single parent because it's all up to you. You don't have someone to talk it over with. You know, I couldn't go and discuss it. I would have to be the one handling the situation. Also, earnest prayer and fasting. I had never fasted for spiritual reasons. As burdens and concerns surface, pray in earnest for the individuals or the situation with purposeful intent for a work of God. Include a form of fasting with a commitment to fervent prayer, which I do on occasion. It may be a meal a day. Sometimes it's in the summer I'll do one day a week. One time from Thanksgiving till Christmas, the first time I did it where I did a meal a day, I decided from Thanksgiving to Christmas, I'm going to fast one meal a day and pray for my children. Because I found as I focused on all my issues, I was neglecting praying for my children. I was praying about me and praying about, you know, everything else. And so I started doing that, and what I found is it's easy to even, if you're fasting, to even not pray then, to just keep busy. So I would have to make myself stop and spend that time for my kids. But well worth it. Set boundaries. Determine and adjust boundaries in relationships and choices, even when it may put some distance in personal relationships. To be true to God is a first priority, even though this is difficult at times. I found this to be freeing. Yeah, mom and dad, I talked to them about this. But during this period, I distanced myself from my parents as well. I felt like I had to go through it alone. I had to make my own choices. I I had to be strong. So I felt for my parents because they had always been there for me because Randy wasn't. They were kind of like my prop. But with this time, I knew I had to do it alone. That was probably good for me to get that independence. For too long, I have been ruled by what people think. And so there was a divorce from that in setting boundaries. I'm going to end with a thought, which I actually wrote a couple of years ago. It is my desire that you will begin your own path to freedom and healing, and that in the process you will become closer to your Heavenly Father. If you seek God, truly seek Him, you will find Him. You will. And Paul doesn't know this. My brother Paul's here, and I'm going to ask Paul, when I'm all done, would you come up and pray? That'd be okay, Pastor?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I'm going to read this quote, and then we'll be done. The result of all this seeking. The result is that I have found that God brings us to Himself when we truly seek. He is our friend, and He can be found. His friendship is different than all other friendships. It is full of meaning and strength, compassion and help, guidance and deliverance. There are some amazing fruits that bubble up when He becomes all in all. Now loving others is more automatic because He is loving through me. Judging is no longer comfortable because love looks at people differently. Instead of seeing their failings or sin, now I'm able to see their neediness and pain and their lack of peace. I find that I no longer want to be as busy doing and doing for Christ, but I want to rest in being who He wants me to be. The positive works flow out of this being because it's not in my strength, but it's in His. The whole center of reference has pivoted from me, am I doing the right things, to Christ and His doing good things through me. I have found that the mystery of seeking God's will is not so mysterious after all. When one walks closely with God, His will walks with you. Mm-hmm. It's a walk in his presence that is the ongoing spiritual challenge. I feel kind of like this. Before I used to see, like when I go to work, I'd be praying, God help, use me today, help me to be what I should be. I was always adding on, God add on. And for years, that's how I lived, every day, help me God, you know. But now I see it more like this, we're already together. And I just need to access Him and let Him work through me by being totally surrendered. And it's amazing how things come into your path because He knows you will help someone. And you didn't plan it, but it happens. And the last thought is, I'm going to take from a movie, from the trilogy of The Lord of the Rings. There's a scene about halfway through them that when I heard it the first time, I thought, that's me. It's a situation where you have Frodo, who's been carrying this ring, and it's changed his life. And not in a good way. It's been a burden. And he's wishing he didn't have it anymore. The burden's too intense. It's too great. And he says to Gandalf, I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish my problems had never come to me. And Gandalf speaks reality. So do all who live to see such times. But it's not for them to decide. All we have to do is to decide what to do with the time that is given to us. And that's what we have to do. Okay, Paul?
Let's stand. Take somebody's hand next to you. Put your arm around it. Thank you, Paul. God bless.
Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much, first of all, for the beautiful healing that you've brought in, my sister Nora.
Yeah.
And what a not just healing, but you made her such a new person in you, and that's just a tremendous joy to me. Father, I'm sitting here today, I'm just so reminded that how deeply you know us, and how you know us way better than we know ourselves. You know that what we've managed to hide from our own selves, managed to whittle away in little corners so that we can deny, and yet you love us so much that if we but follow you, you can reveal to us things that we would never know. God, I thank you for your love. Thank you for the love that is in Christ Jesus, and the love that you've shown to Norma and to so many others. And I just pray that, as Norma said at the end, that be true in me and be true in all of us, that we would come willingly to your presence, bring all things to your presence, and walk in your way. Walk by faith. And Father, I pray that you'd give us the courage and the honesty and the wherewithal to do that. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and pray that it would be by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.